Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This is the Meat Eater Podcast coming at you shirtless, severely bug-bitten, and in my case, underwearless.
We hunt the Meat Eater Podcast.
You can't predict anything.
Presented by Onyx Hunt, creators of the most comprehensive digital mapping system for hunters. Download the Hunt app from the iTunes or Google Play Store. Know where you stand with Onyx. On the subject of wind... We've been talking about wind. It's very tell people how windy it is, Giannis, so they don't think that I'm just, you know, struggling.
It's the windiest I think I've ever seen it since I've moved to Montana 5 years ago.
It's so windy that Giannis got reports from 80-mile-an-hour winds.
And oh yeah, over in Big Timber, a rancher was shipping cattle, and he says his eyes are swollen from all the small particles that have been blown into his eyeballs the last 2 days.
That windy.
I thought my windows might implode towards me this morning as I was making coffee. It was so windy.
That bad.
And the glass was flexing.
Such. Extremely windy. We have a Halloween deck. It's so windy that that doesn't matter. There's a Halloween decoration that I had to get up and remove in the middle of the night. Bam, 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 bam.
Mm.
But,
oh, here's a way to explain how windy it is. My neighbor's wheelbarrow, which I don't know exactly where he stores it on his property, but it was at least 100 yards from his house. A wheelbarrow had just been blown across the landscape.
This is
it's pretty windy.
I got two windy things. I want to tell. So for the first time ever, my beloved sister-in-law, say something, Juanita. Juanita Vero is here.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
My favorite, probably. I like you more than Yanni.
Ooh.
I like you more than my brother.
Ooh.
Like if I had to choose between my brother and my sister-in-law.
You have two brothers and two sisters-in-laws.
No, I'm talking about this one in particular. I'm just trying to lay it on thick.
The one that Juanita's married to.
Yeah, Juanita's married to my brother, Matt. But I like her more than him, which puts me in an awkward position. Because originally, I don't know, I never told you this. I was originally not skeptical of you, but I was sussing you out.
Ooh.
Because I care about my brother a great deal, and so... You know, I love him to death.
What'd you find out in your sussing?
Oh, that I liked you. But initially, right? Initially, I wouldn't take him saying like, oh, you know, I have a girlfriend, we might get married. I wouldn't take that as like, oh gosh, can't wait to meet this wonderful person. My head would go,
what's wrong?
Went I got her number now. I'm going to find out. Skepticism.
Fair enough.
You'd like do them wrong. I don't know.
Just he was injured.
Skeptical. Like, I was skeptical, but then now, you know, you really won me over.
Aww.
Like, I love you so much.
So kind.
I know. I love you so much. You do such a great job at being my brother. You do a great job being my brother's wife. But
6 years in.
I'll point out, you guys don't live together.
It's a secret.
Yeah. You guys live 9.
To a long, happy marriage.
You guys live 9 hours apart.
Yes. It is
it's
true.
Like a commute. It's like a long, with no
we have to be
immediate
committed.
Plans to like remedy the situation.
No.
Not even looking at it as something that should be remedied.
Absolutely not. Maybe when we get a little older.
Like someday. You haven't
when
ruled
we
out
need,
living together.
You know, some
I think remedy
care.
Though makes it sound like there's like it's a problem and there's something wrong with
that's
it.
That's what I was trying to say. It's like it's not like a thing that they're like stuck in and wish they weren't. You just don't live together.
Just don't live together.
Yeah.
I think a lot of
you
couples
just might
probably
decide to change it.
Probably wish
later.
Yeah, when we need assisted living help,
mm-hmm. you'll assist each other.
No,
well, or
we need
you
someone to wipe
just,
our asses, and
or you
might
guys,
as well just have one person do it.
That's
it'll
right.
be cheaper.
Where you just start to love each other so much that you can't be that far apart anymore. You need more time together.
We got a lot of love right now. I don't know.
I want to tell you my windy story though.
This is very windy. I thought your brother's house was going to blow away.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I'm trying to just, this is a prolonged setup for a story about windiness. The first time I took my wife to my brother's house in Miles City, she'd never been to Miles City. And I think she just had, like, she was pregnant. We had one baby, and she was pregnant with another baby. Either way, I take her there, and I don't know what's. And I didn't know, but there's like
was
a hurt. There's Karina a
hurt. Have a baby.
There's a tornado coming,
yes.
But I didn't know there's a tornado coming. So we get to Miles City, and we're gonna go fishing. And our friend D was there as well, and so Katie's like, "Well, I'm just gonna hang out and catch up with D, and we'll hang out in the house, and you guys all go fishing." So we start down the road to go fishing, and all of a sudden, like a tornado hits, and blows trees. Like, we couldn't even get anywhere down. We couldn't even get down the road because, like, cottonwoods are blowing down the road. A chunk of Matt's roof blows off his house.
Whoa.
And she's, like, huddled in the door frame. And she's, like, never been to this town in her life. She's only been here, like, 30 minutes. And she's thinking, my God, this place is windy. Unbeknownst to any of us, it was like.
And his door frames probably aren't the sturdiest of door frames.
No, it's like the kind of house that they haul in on. It's the kind yes. of house they haul in on a trailer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Lightly manufactured.
Yeah, and she's like, no one, I can't picture how windy it is here. But yeah, it was like arrived during a tornado. Yesterday, I was out with my wife and kids, and we ran.
Aground.
Ran aground 2 days ago, ran our jet boat aground. And I blame the wind for this because like when you can run a jet boat in inches of water, you know, but you kind of rely when you're picking your course, you kind of rely on the way the water looks. You're looking for deep water, shallow water. And the wind was so severe, two things. The wind was so severe that it interrupted the surface activity on the river. It made everything look different. Because the wind's blowing up current and made so you couldn't like read the river right. And was trying to buy a fishing license for my wife, and I was convinced that she already had one. She was convinced she didn't have one. So we're on the phone. I'm trying to like drive the boat down a very shallow river and be on the phone like, no, hit that button. No, it's your birthday. You know, I know you go and all of a sudden, bam, 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 just dead. I mean, like ran aground.
But nobody got thrown.
No one got thrown.
That's good.
It was kind of a like, bam! Bam, 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 bam! Yeah, everybody had to get out, dragging the boat around.
It was just a gravel bar.
Yeah, ran up on a gravel bar. Scared the hell out of everybody. It was bad. And then, just like generally horrible fishing. A dude gave us a walleye. So we wound up with two because a guy gave us one. So dude had caught one and didn't want to clean it, gave us that walleye, then we caught our own and went home with two walleye.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was a very windy day.
Camped out for the night. Ah. Big doings. Also joined by Casey Snyder.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Spelled real weird.
Hey, you know, it's the American version of a German name. So S-N-I, that strong German I rather than a Y, which I think is Dutch technically.
Yeah.
And you're currently, to give people your, tell people what you're up to.
So I am in the state legislature back home in Utah. So I am from Cache Valley, represent the 5th District, the Fightin' Five, as we like to call it, in the state legislature. And this last spring session, we ran a bill to amend our state constitution to add the right to hunt and fish in our state. Joined a bunch of states, including this one, and make sure that that right, that opportunity is always protected in Utah. So that's what I'm here to talk to you about today.
Yeah, and you're super involved in, one, you're an ag.
Yep, we farm, we ranch, we kind of dabble in everything. I'm a man of many hats, I would say. So,
including that John Deere one you got on right now.
Absolutely. All the way, green all the way. But yeah, so we farm and ranch, and then in the legislature and also working on a PhD in fire. Forestry and fire at Utah State University. That's sort of one of those ongoing things. But that dovetails in with in the summertime, we have a local department, and I usually will go out for a couple months, couple weeks, and fight fire, including this summer. So
there's, what's your PhD in fire? What are you looking at?
So we're looking at basically better ways to predict fire in our state. So I'm working on a fire atlas, which would say, hey, when does this type of vegetation burn? How often and how big do the fires usually go? So basic baseline data stuff. And then we're going to look at some other topics relative to management. Do private lands in the state of Utah burn more often than federal lands or bigger? Those types of just basic questions. Let's see what's going on down there on a longer scale. So we'll see. It's one of those we're 5 years in. We'll see. Hopefully one day they'll call me doctor, but we'll see.
So just to recap, you're like in your state legislature.
Yep.
And you guys are in farming. You help operate a family ranch.
Yep.
And you fight fires.
Summertimes are busy at my house.
And you're like enrolled in an academic program.
Yep. Yeah, if you don't sleep, you can get a lot done. I'll just say it.
So you just stay up a lot.
Yeah, you know, caffeine.
You know what surprised me?
Are you getting jealous, Steve?
A little bit, man. yeah, I do. It would keep you, because with that array, if something's not interesting that day, you just do something, just work on a different thing.
Yeah, and I could tell people what I am that day rather than, you know, so maybe today I'll be the firefighter and tomorrow I'll be the farmer, you know, so that keeping it light, keeping it flexible.
You know what surprised me recently about the fires? I want to point out a commonality between our two guests here, my sister-in-law, Juanita. There's a lot of differences and a lot of commonalities that I want to point out. You guys both are in livestock in some respects. Like, you guys have a large horse herd, Juanita. Juanita lives on a guest ranch over Missoula, and you guys keep a shitload of horses.
Yes, and so I was talking to Casey earlier. I was curious about his grazing management, and
yeah.
So
and yeah. You guys are in the cattle business.
Yep.
And you guys both like are fire obsessed.
I was
it could come
really
in and like wipe out
because
it could come wipe the program out.
Yeah, I think obsessed is a, I'll take that as a compliment. Mm-hmm. We'll say that's a good thing, or meant as a good thing.
Oh, it's encouraged, man. Like, I learned a thing that I didn't know recently is we had a big fire right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had friends lose their homes and stuff. And for a minute, we were kind of like on standby to see if we had to evacuate. And it was close to a hiking trail. And I'm running around telling everybody, there's no way that someone flicked a cigarette. There was no weather. Then I learned that a lightning strike can fester in the ground or in a tree.
It was weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. They think that it was a lightning strike from weeks earlier. Like, how the hell does that happen?
We've had that happen on our place with burning in the fall and in the winter. And then it just goes to the duff and goes to the roots and then blows up in March, April with spring wind. Dry day.
Hold on, you like burning brush,
and suddenly there's instant flame and burning. I mean, Casey knows this.
Yeah, it happens all the time. You can have fires that'll last all winter under the snow. Wake up in the spring, oh, there it is again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing kind of blew my mind because this is like in plain sight, man. That it must have just been living in this tree.
Yep.
And then erupted out of the ground. One time, I might have talked about this before, but I can't remember. But one time we were camping. Hunting elk, and we'd started a fire, and it was at like on a ridge top with a lot of white bark pine. There's that deep duff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you like dig down in that shit. You never quite hit like mineral soil, but you try to whatever, make a fire. And we made a fire, put it out, like thoroughly put it out, I thought. A couple days later, still up hunting. I'm like, that's so weird that there's some dudes camped in that weird ass spot where we are camped, because it's not like a camp spot, because I see smoke rising up. And I'm watching the smoke and like become more aware of the smoke and more turning around in my head. Like, what are the odds that two people would camp there and make a fire? And eventually we wander up there. And sure enough, man, it had burned down in the pine duff and popped up 10 feet away. And then we had to go in there and just excavate the hole. We had to take like an evening off hunting and excavate the whole damn area, trying to put all of our fires out.
Yeah, you know, some of that stuff, I was on a fire, the Rice Ridge fire over in Sealy Lake 3 or 4 years ago, and we had, I don't know, 6 pumps in series that were just running, and you'd wake up in the morning and you'd spray water on it pretty much all day and go home. Next morning you'd come up and it'd be smoldering again. That duff, once it's got heat in it, especially some of this country, it'll go a long time. So, you know, maybe that fire's still burning. Maybe have you been up there lately to check to see if that campfire's all the way
it's
out?
It's been about 20 years, yeah. So I hope by now it's all the way out. We had another one that similar thing. It was in the snow, and it's tunneled away from us. And then the reason you could see it is it got like steamy over in other areas where the fire traveled underground through the duff and then started melting up patches of snow to combust. Hmm. I've learned a lot of lessons since then. Is this your first term doing the state deal?
Yep. I'm coming out of my first term running for my second. So
you got a win coming up here.
You know, fingers crossed. We'll see how it goes.
And then how did it come to be? Like, tell people what the program you're involved in or the bill you're trying to do with the right to hunt and fish. Like, what's that all about?
So, you know, if I'm not doing everything else, I guess you should say, I'm hunting and fishing, and that is a big part of who I am. And, you know, we've been going back and forth on setting this up. I was up at elk camp all last week and happy not to respond to any emails or phone calls. Now,
did you get an elk?
I did. Yeah, a little 5x6 bull.
So. This is down in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
With your bow?
It is a lot easier to get them with your rifle. We'll just say that. But yeah. It's dark timber up there, you know, and public land hunt. So it was, I'm happy to have that, you know, that done. But, That's something I've grown up in, done my whole life. And I'm currently the head of what's called the Hunting and Fishing Caucus in our state legislature. And we've sort of been looking at how do we preserve this legacy, this opportunity into the future. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what kind of pressures are going to be on our sport going forward. So if we could codify now when support is high for these types of activities for hunting and fishing, we could put that in our constitution. Maybe down the road, if perceptions change or public opinion shifts, there's at least a higher threshold before those sort of activities could be eliminated or curtailed. So that was sort of the thinking behind things.
But, you know, it's common for people to say that, don't people always say it's a privilege? It's like a part of like what they teach in hunter safety and stuff.
Well, I think that's the balance, right?
Like it's a privilege and not a right.
I think the privilege comes in, it can be revoked, right? You don't follow the rules. You're not up to current statute and doing things the right way, yeah, that can be eliminated. But at a fundamental level, that fundamental right level, the opportunity to follow the law and to harvest something with your own hands, that's what we're trying to protect. Everything else is subject to statute, right, and to limitation by the Division of Wildlife Resources or our state legislature. But to be always guaranteed that if you're following the law, you can go hunt or fish for something in our state. That was the genesis and the impetus behind the whole thing.
How many states have the protections?
13, I believe, right now. And it, you know, some of this goes back, clear back into the founding. So there are states back east. I believe it's Connecticut, if I remember right, or Vermont. They're, you know, right as they're putting their state constitution together, boom, it was in there, the right to hunt and fish. And so we're kind of keeping up. A lot of the states around us have it. You guys have it here, Idaho. Even California has the right to fish. Now, you know.
Really? They didn't get the...
They parsed it out, you know. So
and seriously?
That's dead serious. And that's maybe some of the concern that we had when we ran it, you know. Like, oh, they're already starting to say maybe this isn't...
Hon, they ran a right to fish?
You have a right to fish, but you don't have a right to hunt in California. So that, you know. So bow fishing is that in that gray area, right? Like, I don't know how that all works. So anyway. But yeah, so we're just, you know, following great ideas and hopefully adding it to our state constitution. Voters have to obviously adopt it. So it has to
by a simple majority.
A simple majority. State legislature has to support it with 2/3. So it passed in the House and Senate in our legislature with a 2/3 majority. And now it'll go to the people and it just has to, you know, 50 plus one.
Okay. I got a whole bunch of questions about
this. Oh, man.
Now. So why it didn't pass unanimously?
No.
What was the argument against passing it?
So
that it was unnecessary? Like what?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, it's like, well, of course that's always going to be something. Why do, we don't need to elevate it to the level of a constitutional amendment. And, you know, I sort of make the argument that you do, and history in our state would prove. So I don't know if you've talked about it here, but in Colorado right now, there's obviously there is a proposition to add wolves, to reintroduce wolves going on in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, which has been made a moot point because they've since then,
kind of
while
there.
They've been haggling over this, the wolves just showed up.
On their own, yeah.
So they're there now.
But see, in our state, you can't by proposition without a 2/3 majority make decisions relative to wildlife. So we passed a constitutional amendment that set that threshold. This is in the early 2000s. And when that ran through, everyone was like, well, this is crazy. Who even cares, right? Why would you even want this to happen? And it was sort of this argument that it was unnecessary. You fast forward 20 years and you look across the state line and you're like, huh, well, they're kind of doing that now.
Or you mean that people are putting like a very simple wildlife management decision that would normally be made by agencies appointed to make those kind of decisions. They're putting it like to a simple yay or nay 51% vote.
Taking science out of it and totally basing wildlife management on public opinion. And that was, again, sort of seen as unnecessary. And so you look at this amendment with that as context and you can say, you know, it's nice just to have this as a safeguard when you've got public opinion on your side. And it's nice to be able to guarantee in our state that right to hunt and fish because the majority of our population supports it now. We don't know where it'll be 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Has any state ever tried to run one of these and lost?
I think they have, yeah. But I believe that if we've all the states where it's passed with clear majorities, there hasn't been any problems. And right now, there hasn't been any big pushback. All the major hook and bullet groups in our state are supporting us right now. And there's not any opposition to things. So I'm hoping we're going to, you know, smooth sailing and everything will be good. But, you know, I don't know.
There's no organized opposition to a right to hunt and fish.
No. And again, any of the concern comes down to why do we need to do this and why are we doing it now? And that's a pretty good argument that's beatable. So we'll see how it goes. I'm optimistic we're going to get it passed through. And I'm, you know, one of those people that's going to benefit from it. So
can you try to identify what would be a thing that this could prevent from happening? Like what would be an issue if you look at other states or some kind of other rule that's come down? What would be something that this would be beneficial in protecting from?
So one of the provisions that's added to there, so we sort of put a box around this, right? We say subject to state rules and a few other things. But one of the things that we guarantee in this is that hunting and fishing will be the primary tool for managing wildlife populations. So if you look in back east in particular, where you've got a high density of white-tailed deer, for example, they're basically paying state agencies sometimes at night, sometimes with other means to eliminate deer because they've got so many. Our amendment says hunting and fishing would do that. So if not only do you have the right to take, but you're saying the North American model is fundamental to this, and hunters and anglers are always going to be the primary ones playing a role in how wildlife are managed in our state. So that's, for example, one real specific and nuanced thing that hopefully this will protect against going forward.
Why don't you guys roll trapping into that?
Because we believe that that's covered under the statute. So it's harvest, take, game,
okay.
You know, and I think that's covered without sort of the bigger fight that always occurs over that.
So you guys chickened out. You thought about it and then chickened out.
Come on. No, I think if you're harvesting wildlife, it's covered, right? And there's always that public perception, public opinion drives everything. And while I love to trap, that's something I grew up doing, mostly bobcats and beavers, there is a pretty strong anti-sentiment with that. So if you can cover that and preserve that right with basically harvest, why have the fight? I mean, there's enough fighting in politics as it is. So if we can achieve the same objective without sticking it in somebody's eye, let's do that.
Without calling it out.
Yeah.
Now, would it prevent, let's just say, if you're following in the tracks of California, like they've lost the right or ability to use hounds, right?
Yeah.
So when something like that comes up, when they're like, well, you can still hunt, but you can't do it this way anymore. How does that work?
You know, that discretion still applies. Like, so we're not eliminating the divisions making rules and regulations. It's all subject to that. But what it would say is maybe you can't use dogs or, you know, there's already rules over dogs or bait or whatever on different bears and lions. But the ability, what it would guarantee is that you could still harvest bear, right? As long as populations are such and you meet objectives and all those types of things. So that's the root of it. There will always be that debate, and I think it's necessary and prudent, right, about means and methods. I think that's a natural part of our sport, and I think that has to be part of it. But what we're trying to do is prevent it from being eliminated wholly as an option. So,
which is that's what people argue when they argue the death by a thousand cuts thing. I mean, everybody likes to poke fun at California when it comes to death by a thousand cuts.
Well, because it's easy, right? It is easy to poke fun at California.
Yeah, I had a guy, like a very high ranking, it's a national hobby to poke fun at California, if that's where you're going. But I had a very high ranking person in California's wildlife department predict to me, and he made this prediction a long time ago, years ago. He predicted me, he said, we will lose bow hunting next through referendum. And he put it that he said, I think in 25 years, it'll all be gone. If you look at in California, they did like method to take stuff on mountain lions. Okay. But eventually just got rid of any mountain lion harvest at all by hunters. It's all done now by the state. I mean, they're still under damage permits, killing several hundred of them a year. They're still killing
the exact same amount.
They're killing, the state and agents are killing about as many as hunters used to. But they removed methods before eventually getting around to the thing. In trapping, like, got rid of trapping, and then went to a thing to be that you can't sell fur. So what I'd be more interested in is like a piece of protection, or I wish that the protections you could measure more against the death by a thousand cuts thing. One frustration I have with conservation groups, especially ones that a frustration I have with conservation groups that focus on habitat issues, which are very important, access issues, is they oftentimes don't like to get embroiled in the method of take arguments. So a couple of years ago, there was a thing in this state that was, you want to talk about like death by a thousand cuts, like the level of specificity. It was no trapping on public land. To try to narrow it down to like a little thing that you think you could get. They're like, what's something we could get away with? It got clobbered. They didn't pass it. But it was like so fine-tuned to try to make some progress toward getting rid of hunting, trapping, whatever. In Maine, it was there was a thing a couple years ago in Maine. I think it was getting rid of bait for bears, getting rid of hounds for bears. And people would point out, well, that's the only way people, like in thick, flat country, that's the only way people get bears. So you're effectively ending 90-some percent of the bear harvest, but you're not coming out and saying it. You're trying to make it an issue about dogs and bait, but we see what you're really driving after. So it'd be cool if the we could make protections that helped also prevent the like just whittling away at people's stuff. I've never heard in California that the thing has gone anywhere to like ban bow hunting, but this guy had it laid out, like how it would be approached, how it would be won.
Well, and I think that goes to the broader point as hunters and anglers, we've got to be involved, right? Like there's at my level, there is literally only so much I can do. And I think we've done that and sort of set the table and set a pretty high threshold and set a pretty strong burden of proof. But if you like to hunt and fish and you're not involved in the political process, it's going to be involved for you without you. And so that's sort of, I know we're kind of coming off topic a little bit here, but if you appreciate these opportunities, you better support them the whole way. And that's through initiatives. That's the ballot box. Heck, if you like to hunt and fish, maybe you ought to even run for office. You know what ruins hunting and fishing for me? Political service. Yeah, it's not getting ready for the legislative session in January really screws up my duck hunt. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I believe in this stuff and it's important to me and I'm willing to step up. And I think as folks like to do that, we've got to be willing to make that sacrifice on the front end so that this legacy and this heritage is there for our kids.
The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's, I'm in the navel, and I hear pow, I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on X, and I'll look at the topography and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
When the states go to do the right to hunt and fish thing, is there like a plan, like a little package they send you to do it in your own state? You know what I mean? How did it come to be that it came on your radar?
Well, so actually I had a buddy that had done some research work as part of a master's degree and was just sort of compiling data. He's like, hey, we don't have one of these. This ought to be a good thing. You know, and then I started reaching out to the various conservation groups and said, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, everybody jumped up and down. You want to hear a really interesting committee hearing? Politics is largely boring unless somebody says something stupid. I think that's sort of the norm. But in our legislature, in the committee where this bill was presented, when we put this forth, we had like half the room in tears. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my whole political career. The chairman is crying, saying, I'm going to protect this opportunity for my daughter. Like, this
like
is
for
amazing.
For real tears?
For real tears. Like, I'm sitting there presenting on my bill and thinking, oh, I think I got pretty strong support in here because he's crying and he's crying and everybody's telling stories about the bull that came off the mountain, you know, and their daughter's first deer and those types of things. So, you know, that it was a good idea that obviously had a lot of support and a lot of political and emotional support, and we've run the whole way with it. So
have you gotten any well-articulated opposition to it?
No. I mean, there are opinions out there, and I would say that the when folks are saying, is this really necessary? I mean, they use good words and correct grammar, so I think you could classify it as well-articulated. I just don't think it's compelling, and that maybe that's the difference. So I think we're going to be okay. You know, fingers crossed. Hopefully the voters in the state of Utah will make the right choice.
Are those opinions coming from people like or groups like PETA? Or is it just random people that are actually saying, oh, really? Why now?
I think it's more random. Yeah. Even some of our large groups, Humane Society and PETA, like you mentioned, that maybe would sort of be a catalyst for opposition. They've largely said, no, it's, you know, not a big deal. So at least publicly, and that's how they're behaving so far. And, you know, our ballots are coming out this week back home. I'm assuming that you guys are getting yours here too for mail-in. So, and
Yanni just got his.
Oh, man. You know, so we're only, what, couple three weeks before the election. So I think we're going to be okay, but you never know. So that's why I am so happy to be here today, and hopefully all the listeners in Utah will be convinced by the compelling argument that I have made on this podcast.
Well, I think you probably were going to lose it, but now you're going to win.
we'll chalk it up to Meteor right now.
What exactly does it say?
I can't regurgitate it verbatim because it's fairly long, but it's basically the right to hunt and fish will be preserved subject to da 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 da.
And when you normally go in and do a referendum thing, like, I'm always guilty of I'm actually going to touch on this later because I have to talk about my sister-in-law Juanita Moore, but I'm guilty of, as I get down to the tail end of my ballot,
yeah,
I'm finding out about things I wasn't aware of, like, oh, yeah. I'm like, homie, what? I have that feeling a lot.
Yeah.
And it'll be like what do you call them, like some new like very complex like tobacco taxation issue, right?
Yeah, like, it seems like there's always levies.
Yeah,
levies.
That's what
I'm
looking for.
All the levies. There's, how can there be 20 levies that I have to think about right now?
Yeah, and I'm torn between, I always get torn between, I could sit it out, which is the responsible thing to do because I have no idea what it's talking about. Or I could try to like read real quick and make like a snap judgment in order to weigh in. But I feel like I'm just not educated on the issue. And then they have these ballot supplements.
You're right.
And the each side gets to like agree on a pro con. And it's sort of like everybody agrees that it's a fair synopsis of the issue. What did you guys have to go through that process? Like what's the why not in the ballot supplement?
So maybe we're not as cordial back home. Like I got to present my opinion, they got to present theirs, but we didn't like compare notes and say,
oh,
hey,
I could be totally wrong about comparing. But they're always very, I feel that they're very, I should say that they're very measured.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It seems like someone is in there, because you wouldn't be able to be in there like, you know, those little flyers you get for candidates? He loves China and hates America, right? Like that wouldn't be in the, right.
Right.
They would find another way to articulate it, you know. He hates babies.
Yeah, right? No, we have that same thing, you know, and I do need to say I am grateful that you didn't have like a third method, which is like eeny, meeny, miny, mo. So that's, you know, that means you are an informed voter. At
well,
least
I might be guilty. I might be guilty that now and then.
Well, last time I chose C, I'll go D.
Yeah.
I don't want to be predictable.
You know, so we'll just pretend that you're, you know, A and B are your only options. But we do have that as a smidget. But I'm hoping, like, before this podcast, you probably didn't know anything about this hunt, right to hunt and fish in the state of Utah. But what does your heart tell you? You know, what do you believe? And I'm hoping that there's that little moment in time in the ballot box or at the kitchen table when you're filling your circles. It's just a feel good. You know what? Boom. And we're going to go with that. That's my hope. There is going to be obviously this and some other sort of orchestrated, like, here's get out the vote and let's make sure we're supporting this. But at a fundamental level in my state, that's something I think we still cherish, that heritage, that opportunity. So I think that's going to pick up people, you know, or we roll the dice with A, B, or C. So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Are you a career politician? Were you going to say something, Juanita?
I was just going to ask. So the language is really clear on your ballot, right? Is there a number associated with this? Like, we need to advertise this.
Gosh, I think we're G. So, like, we're down to the whole...
Like, where I start zoning out.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I shot for A and I didn't get it, but there's four or five on the ballot otherwise. But yeah, I
before a sleepy voter or for Steve cruising through to the bottom of his ballot, the language is very clear about what this is.
The right to hunt and fish, boom, and you'll see that.
Just hunt it down.
Hunt it down and love America and the great state of Utah and support that amendment. That's kind of what we're going for.
What else throws me on the ballots is when you get down to the part where you're like voting for a judge, but it doesn't seem there's anyone running against him.
Yeah.
Then I'm always torn too. Because I'm like, there's not anybody running against them. See, I might as well make them feel good and write their name down.
See, but here's the thing. At that point, you're not responsible. Like, all those people who could have ran for judge and didn't, that's where the blame is. So you just go with what you've got before you. That whole who screwed up isn't you in the ballot box at that point. It's whoever, you know, didn't step up and run or maybe it really is just a good judge. So don't harbor any guilt on that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Like, he's has such an impeccable career, he or she, that there's just no one could even remotely challenge
him.
Yeah,
that one's not on you. Just go with it. Just go with it.
Do you imagine you're going to become a career politician?
Oh, man, I hope not.
Yeah, everybody, listen.
No, listen.
Don't do the false modesty, false bashful shit.
Here's
every politician says that. I'll tell you one that didn't, though, I think. I remember we had Wyoming's former governor. We talked about him a minute ago. Matt Mead was on the show once.
Yeah.
And he was terming out as governor. And I was like, so what are you going to do next? He's like, nothing. I'm done doing politics. And I'm like, oh, come on. This is like it'll be like a week and you'll be. But I think he actually meant it. Like, he quit.
He's done.
Unless he pops up. But I mean, I was like, I thought he was doing the old, like, you know, act like keeping a secret or whatever. But it seems like he just full on. Stopped.
He was back to ranching.
He's done. That's my dream. You know,
just a full on stop.
I want my if my place could be fully productive and my ranch running, that's what I want at the end of all this. Like, so my wife and I bought our place. It's not inherited. We both grew up in it, but bought our own place. That to me is more important, you know, and I've got a couple of
kids. I don't
know
how people pull that off, man.
Oh, man, I think I like to gamble, but I don't. Gamble's not really legal. It's not legal in the state of Utah, so I think farming sort of supplements that itch. But yeah, so that's for me the big thing. You know, I'm happy to serve. I actually before I ran for office, I made the poor life decisions of working as a staffer in politics. So I worked in D.C. for a little while, and when this seat that I currently hold came open, it was like, well, I think I could help out. I kind of have been through this mess before. Maybe I can do a few things, but I'd like to do a few terms, and then if there's something else, whatever. But my preference would be farming, hunting and fishing, because this really screws up with the things that I like to do.
how many of you are there? How many people around the state?
In what?
The state legislature.
Well,
I have such a hard time.
There's only one Casey Snyder, if that's what you're asking. No, there's only one.
Let me put it in national terms real quick first, so just the people understand. Or help me and the listener to understand. Like, we all know that, you know, we have what, whatever, 364, yeah, whatever the hell it is, congressmen, congresswomen in Washington, D.C. that represent the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 100 senators, two from each state. You could have a state, like all states get two, but a lot of states you might only have one representative, or the state might like have 20 depending on population and
sure,
land mass, I think. But then you have your state version.
Right.
And it's a way different job.
It's way better. I get to go home at night, and I only have to do this for a couple months.
Yeah, and then, but I didn't realize it's like, it's not quite, but like, is almost sort of a voluntary.
Yeah.
Like, you guys aren't like raking it in.
I only get paid January, February, and part of March when I'm there. And so everything else is sort of on my dime. And even then when you're down there, it's like, eh, you know, probably could stay home and make more money, but
yeah, it's kind of a pure form of politics, the state,
yeah,
to serve at the state level.
But I actually think that's a good thing, you know. So it changes the incentives, right? So maybe in DC, if I'm going to go make $150K, heck yeah, I'll run for Congress, right? Or I'll be a senator, and you know, see what happens. In the legislature, where in our capital, when you're making like $10,000 or $12,000 a year, and you got to do this, I bet this takes at least 30 hours a week for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to do it because you legitimately feel like it's service. You know, like, I'm not getting rich, and frankly, I doubt I'm going anywhere after this. So it's literally a chance for me to go and say, hey, neighbors, what's important to you? How can I impact this in a positive way? You know, and I think that trickles down. Like, how much, look at a county commissioner, look at a mayor, look at a city council person, right? Like, those
you're looking at a county commissioner.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's service, right? Like, and proof of that is what's your incentive at the end of this? No, it's like, I feel like I can make a positive impact on my community. I'm going to step up and do my time. At the end of this, nobody's going to know my name. I call down the city offices. I represent about 7 towns in my little valley.
Yeah, how many people do you represent?
About 35,000 people.
Oh, so that's a sizable number.
It's a decent size. But I'll call the city office.
You have that many constituents.
Hey, and they all love me, I'm sure. But see, I'll call the city office and I'll say, hey, this is Casey Snyder. I'd like to rent a room for the afternoon to have a town hall, or, you know, just talk to some people. And they'll be like, okay, who are you? And that's, you know, that is perfect. I love that. Cause then it's like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm nobody, but can I borrow the room for the night? So
do you get people in your constituency who are super pissed at you all the time?
Well, there are people, clearly they're not a majority cause I'm still here. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I actually have a file, in my inbox where like people are super creative when they're insulting you. Like, some people, it is amazing. I'm like, gosh, I wish I was that smart when I was mad. I file it away and I read it back to myself, you know, like, I'm like, gosh, that whenever I'm really pissed at somebody, I'm going to use email A and all the phrases that were thrown at me. I torque a few people off. Sure. I think it's part of the deal.
And you get dragged into stuff, that you probably don't have any background in, though.
Yeah. You know, I think there's, look, I know where my lane is. Like, if you ask me about cows or hunting and fishing or, you know, natural resources generally, yeah, I think I can articulate an answer. But, you know, you put me on some of these social issues and like urban housing, it's like, I live on a farm. Like, how am I supposed to know what good state policy is for high density housing? You know? So that happens.
What do you do in those cases?
You know, I call an expert, you know, you find a constituent who's got background in it. You know, you do your research and you hope you make an educated and informed decision when it's your time to vote. The one thing with the legislature or in city government or county government, in any form, is like, you got to vote. Like, it's yes or no on this. And you may not be all the way prepared, but, you know, you can't chicken out. Like, put up or shut up kind of a deal. You're there.
Yeah, well, everybody, other people in the exact same situation. You could have someone in your state, someone coming out of maybe has a background in urban development, and they're weighing in on ag issues.
Yeah.
And no one, like, thinks to question, right?
Well, you know, I think all of us have a good sense for, I grew up in agriculture, so I have a master's degree in bull. I don't know if I can say it on your podcast.
Oh, you got it.
So yeah, but I think everybody kind of knows, right? Like, if you're an expert matter and you get somebody from downtown telling you how to, you know,
commenting on an ag bill, like somebody with a John Deere hat might step up and say, all right, folks, let's tell it to you straight. And, you know, the same thing happens on my end. If I'm totally out in left field on something I have no business or no idea weighing into, like somebody's going to call you out. And so that's the balance. Like, make informed decision. Come up, do your homework, be educated on an issue, but don't just make crap up. Like, that's poor policy.
Do you think there's any what do you think would happen if someone tried to do a right to hunt and fish bill for the U.S.?
Oh, man. I don't know. Listen.
I can't picture if it would. I bet it wouldn't pass.
You know what the
most, I don't know.
You know what the most wonderful thing about being in the state legislature is? I don't really care what happens in D.C. anymore. You know, like, that world's so screwed up and upside down right now. Like, I don't know. You know what's going to pass, though? The right to hunt and fish in the state of Utah. That's what's going to happen there.
Coming up in a few days, 30 days, just, whatever, 34 days.
Just right around the corner.
I had this guy telling us one time, there's this historian I'm friends with that studies like demographics and perceptions of hunting and the way hunting gets covered in the media and newspapers and things. And he was explaining to me that depending on how you word it, okay, you can word it approval of hunting and fishing to Americans in a way that there's overwhelming approval. Mm-hmm. So it basically to the effect of, if you go to Americans and you say, do you support like regulated hunting and fishing informed by, you know, biological input about whatever, okay, and really soup it up.
Yeah.
Lay the whole thing out. Support of hunting actually is higher now than it was in the 80s. The minute you put any particular to it, it starts to fall apart.
Man.
What? The minute you add a detail, like, you know, whatever, you go like, do you support, you know, hunting deer with a bow? All of a sudden, it's just like, it just goes off. Like, people are sort of, they're like, yeah, I get it at a high level. I get it, but I don't like the little nitty gritties. I don't like things that spell out like what exactly I'm saying I support.
Hmm. Why didn't we have this conversation before I ran my amendment? You know, like how do I know if through the eyes of history, I wrote the right thing down on the ballot. We should have talked before I, you know, went to all that trouble.
I think you should have gone crazy, crazy strict because in your state, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And like, you have a state that is, from a distance, I would say it's like very supportive.
Yeah, we're red. We're
very supportive of hunting and fishing rights.
Yeah.
Very supportive of gun rights, right? So I would be doing crazy stuff right now.
Oh, man.
To lock it in. And I'd be like, I'd have a trapping bill, man.
The legislative session's starting here at the end of January. If you want to talk about any particular...
Dude, I'm going to move down there and run, man.
Oh, hey.
What do you guys make? 200 grand?
You know, you might want to take a lot of zeros off of that, but you'll go with that.
Again, how many state legislators... why can't I say this word? It's a legislator.
I am a legislator.
Serving in the legislature.
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So how many of us are there? I think there are 104. So, and that's senators and representatives. So I'm just a lowly representative. I'm not a mighty senator like they across the hall over there, but, you know.
And your term's up. You just finished your first term.
Yep. Yep.
Did anybody challenge you in the first time?
So I had an opponent in, so I'm a Republican. I had a Democratic opponent. I have another Democratic opponent this fall. The gal who ran against me last fall, she's awesome. She's a really great lady. She's actually the Democratic nominee for lieutenant governor on our ticket.
So you guys didn't go into smear? You guys didn't do smear politics?
She's awesome. You know, and I
did you campaign for her?
Look, she probably, you know, it's a toss-up who'd have done a better job. Clearly, we believe in different things. She's a lot nicer than I am, I'm sure. But we had a great race. I won about 75% of the vote down there. So my little part of the world's very conservative. I have another lady who's running against me this year, and I'm optimistic we'll be okay. But either way, the way I like to do things back home and in Cache Valley, where I'm from, is, you know, we look, we've got to get along. And I clearly have a set of things I believe in, but I think there's good people and good ideas in the whole world. And I feel like one of the things that I did in my last race, I don't know if you want to go off on this tangent. It's a little bit of a tangent.
But no, if it has to do with this is like the get out the vote episode.
Yeah,
man.
let's go. I think it's maybe
if it has to do with how partisan politics is ripping the country apart, but then someone can point to an area where it's not, that's great.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Where the whole country's not gonna burn alive and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you know, so one of the things that was really important to me was that it's, you know, in the face of what I think is we should all be embarrassed about where the state of our current national politics are. We should all legitimately be embarrassed. And so when I ran last session, I actually wrote an editorial that basically said, the person running against me is a great person. And you look at all the stuff that she's done a fabulous job. She pushed for some propositions that passed, and they were fundamentally motivated because it was on healthcare, and she lost her mother to cancer and watched that happen and watched all the money she had to spend. So she was advocating from a real position.
Yeah.
And she did a really good job. And we may have differed on the particulars, but she was sincere in her beliefs. And that's what I articulated. And I said, look, she's a good person. We just have a fundamental different view on some key issues. And that's the difference. And like, why can't we just talk about these differences or heaven forbid, find ways to wade through those differences in a way that's going to be beneficial to our whole community? You know, and that's, I feel like we've stepped up and done that in our little part of the world. I don't believe at a fundamental level, politics has to be a zero sum game. I think we let it be that way. And I think we're letting national leaders create this narrative that it's us against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it has to be that way. I think you can literally stand on your principles and say, look, this person, I do not disagree, or I do not agree with them on all these issues. There's probably a whole bunch we do. There's probably a whole bunch we don't. But that doesn't change who they are as a person. I think we got to get past where we're at now. So if you're getting out to vote or you're supporting a candidate or whatever you're doing, like, let's, in your own neighborhood, in your own way, and you know, county council or whatever you're doing, let's push that debate. That's a groundswell I'd like to see, is where we start treating each other like Americans, like people, and just have debates about issues, not about, right now all we do is have fights about who we are.
Yeah, it's
a waste of everybody's time.
Do you have kids?
I do.
How old are they?
I have a 6-year-old and a 6-month-old.
Oh, okay.
So little guys.
The thing I've been a little bit struggling in conversation with my kids is, if you're like, I might be dismissive about a viewpoint that someone else would hold
or
in conversation and they pick up on it. I now am oftentimes like, when some issue comes up, I'm oftentimes trying to explain to them, I'm like, that person believes what they believe with the same level of passion that, like, you believe what you believe. Like, you have to try to, like, get in this mindset of, like, when you don't agree with someone, they're coming from something that feels as real to them. And it's not – and you can't always just have it be that they're dumb and wrong.
Right.
Right?
I mean, that's the, like, lazy way.
It's a way bigger thing than that they're, like, they're dumb and wrong. They're telling you something that fundamentally they know they would tell you. They know inside and out. And they've approached it every possible way and have come to this decision.
Yeah.
Weirdly, we got into this most recently around, and this was like, I almost hesitate to bring this up. I'll throw this out. We don't need to talk about it. We're talking about the 9/11 hijackers. To get into, if you had somehow been able to, like, converse with those individuals, their articulation of what they thought they were doing and what they thought they were trying to accomplish, you wouldn't even be able to approach it. But they would have something that they would tell you that they had arrived at. And, like, the key in even understanding something that's just like an absolute, what we would argue is like absolutely evil, absolutely wrong, the antithesis of everything we believe in, everything we stand for, there would still be deep down there some, like, explanation that person held. And you're never going to combat it or understand it without, like, taking the time to, like, to try to at least understand where someone's coming from.
Yeah.
if not, it's just like you wind up with a sort of a superficial understanding of even the people you disagree with. Like with me, like for instance, if I'm in an engagement with someone who, let's say, someone who opposes the right to hunt and fish, you know, how would I ever be equipped to combat that if I never asked, like, what exactly? I'm like, oh, they just don't want us to have fun. Right?
Yeah.
Are you really going to get anywhere?
No. Well, and I think it's how much easier it is to say you're evil or you're bad. I mean, let, extreme examples aside,
that was a horrible example because it's so. But
we'll go into a narrow space about hunting and fishing.
Yeah,
right?
But like, I want to talk about my example.
Oh man,
I know I don't want to go deep, but I say it's a horrible example. It's an extreme example, but I think in that case, being I like it came up through. I don't want to bore you with how the subject came up at dinner.
This is with your kids.
They've been to the site. Well, this is my 10-year-old.
Oh, all right.
They know, man.
They are, sounds like they're pretty well informed kids.
Well, I mean, the older one knows that that was a thing that, I mean, at this point, like, people know that that happened one day.
Sure.
And it's an extreme example, but it's like with kids, you sometimes have to have extreme examples.
Yeah.
It came up.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to just say this, you know, this person, they disagree with my right to hunt and fish. They're dumb. They're evil. They're stupid. You know, like, how much easier is that to say than, you know, they have an opinion and it's probably based on experience or fundamental belief in whatever they believe in. And, you know, I mean, some of this stuff, majority rules, right? That's kind of how our system's take shape and how it runs anyway. So 51% wins. And so 49% can have a strong opinion and they're probably going to lose to the majority, right? Like that's the sad part of politics. But the other side of that is in how you debate and how you engage. That's the part you can control. You can still advocate strongly for your position, whatever it is, and push for your belief, whatever it is, but you don't have to do it at the expense of somebody else's opinions. And that's, I think, where we should all shift fundamentally as a country. But
a buddy of mine the other day sent me a text exchange he was having with someone from PETA. And I'm reading through the text exchange, and it winds up toward the end, it takes on this tone of like, really, we're talking about the same thing. Like, it's surprising how much we sort of care about the, you know, and like that from engagement.
Yeah.
That from being like, okay, now, what exactly, like, what's the problem?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think.
And instead of like not all the, you know, just like a debate.
Right.
I run into it all the time. Like, when you hear from people, if we get notes from people who are just mad, right? They're just mad. Oftentimes, even opening up, even creating the feeling that there's a conversation, people get the stress level goes down in correspondence with people.
I believe, you know what one of my favorite things to do is? So if I get a really, let's say I get an email that's real, is nasty and mean, but not creative, right? So I can't file it away to use later, but it's just, I could tell these people are torqued off at me. I will find them, not in a creepy way, right? But like with the Google or whatever, use the white pages. I will go and find out where they live and I'll just knock on the door and be like, hi, I'm Casey Snyder. We've actually never met in person before, but we've, you know, had correspondence through email. Let me hear your concern. And I've had, you would be shocked, like the most angry, ardent person through whatever form of communication, when you're there face to face and just being like, tell me what's on your mind, they'll go. And they'll, and half the time it's like looking down at their feet and like, you know, I was just a little upset and it was late at night, you know, and whatever. But it's just that conversation. It's just talking to people. You'll figure it out. So I don't
that
know.
Stuff does give me hope, man.
Yeah, it should.
That when all this, whatever this is.
Yeah.
COVID's made it bad too.
Everybody's cooped inside going crazy. So
your mind runs away with you, man.
Yeah.
I was talking about this the other day, is that all I hear about is how we're all going to kill each other and hate each other. But then when I go about my day, I just have like really like positive, like, I don't understand. Like, how could I still be getting away with having really positive interactions?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Like, I just go through like, I just run into people, I don't know, some dude at the boat launch. I'm like, hey. He's like, hey. You want a walleye? Yeah, man. How is that possible?
It'll get there. It'll get there.
We didn't even, like, fight about anything.
Yeah, you know. I think politics is terrible. People are good, fundamentally. And I think we'll get there. Let the cameras come off of whatever's happening over there. That's why I say I don't even care about that. I'll just focus on what I could control back home. But let the cameras come off. I think fundamentally we all like each other, even if we're like really, really mad at each other right now. That's what I think anyway. We'll see. I could be wrong.
I was reading, I can't remember who it was, a person in healthcare policy predicting that one COVID ends. I don't know if they're just saying this because it's wishful thinking, but there's going to be sort of this this sort of collective hug and niceness.
Well, let's go with that, man. Let's go.
Like, I don't know, but I like it.
I like it too. You know, we had a little glimmer of that back home, so our cases were pretty low, and our county decided to have the county fair. You know, and it was just, we're still going to go forward with it. And
I mean, in person.
In person, yeah. Yeah, we in Cache County, we still had the fair and the rodeo and everything else. And there was no spike, you know, at the end of it, everything.
No changes.
No changes. Just science
regular
was good.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't let the carnies in. So, you know, there was no Ferris wheel and stuff. So that was a change. But, you know, like, it was the fair. I love the fair. It felt like I walked around the fair. I'm like, just the fact that we had the fair, I kind of wanted to give people a hug. Just be like, you know what? It's so good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is like kind of normal. So I think your health buddy's right. You know, if my little fair was any indication about like peace and love because we had a little bit of normalcy, I think let's go with that. Let's say he's going to be right. So.
I fear that we'll forget how to do it. Like, how do you do it? Like, how do you go, like, that we'll forget, like, how to just go be around people?
Forget how to enjoy a live concert?
Yeah, like, dance. Whatever. Like, you'd go into a bar and not be like, why is this dude, like, breathing on me? Or, you know, I don't even go into places. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do, like, extra stuff. I do the things that I deem kind of necessary, but I don't do, I don't do a lot of, like, extra exposure stuff.
I agree.
Because I don't want to have to have someone call me and tell me I got to lay low for 2 weeks in my house.
Yeah.
I think that's like what I'm worried about.
You'll be all right. You'll be all right. It's like, I mean, you know, the cliche is ride a bike, right? Like, I think it's a lot easier just to be nice than it is to ride a bike. I think you'll be all right. I think you won't. That fist bump will come right back. Yeah. Like
you'll be beyond all right. You'll do it with so much more exuberance. It's like if you hadn't ridden a bike for 2 years and you get on one, you're like, oh, this is fun. Remember this? Pedal, pedal, pedal. Stand up. Woo!
Yeah, I'd be like, it feels so good to have this drunken man spitting into my face.
I don't know where you're going when this COVID thing's over. We might be at different places.
The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's and I'm in the navel, and I hear I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on X, and I'll look at the topography and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MeatEater to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right. So turn our attention now to the I don't know if you realize this is a very bipartisan affair, because Juanita's a county commissioner who's a D.
But it's a county commissioner, so I think.
Yeah,
I
different state too. You guys aren't in competition with one another.
But hey,
I think Casey
friends.
And I have, yeah, I think our values probably align.
Oh, I want to tell everybody a couple things, because here's my primary issue with. I approach this different ways with Juanita's upcoming election. One was that I would just tell people, because it's in Missoula County. How many people live in Missoula County?
Our census hasn't been done yet, but 119,000 maybe.
Ooh, that's a sizable constituency. Really?
Second largest county in Montana. We're kind of a big deal.
Billings is number one.
Yep.
Okay.
Or
whatever.
Yellowstone.
Yeah. I thought about taking this two different approaches. I was going to tell people, it doesn't matter anything about any detail about Juanita, it doesn't matter. Just go down the ballot, get to the bottom, probably mid-range. I don't know where they're putting it.
Down
way low. Go down there. Look for Juanita.
No, look for Vero. Vote Vero. Use alliteration.
Oh, vote Vero. Go down to the bottom. Find Vero and just check it. Under the assumption that most people who vote in Missoula County aren't getting that far on the ballot. Nothing against Missoula, but I just know from my own habits, I often, like I said, I peter out toward the end. Like, you get there, it's like, oh my God, the president, senators. Like, you're all excited. And then you know, a lot of people just kind of leave it off, right?
What do you think of this strategy?
So I wanted to do where I just told people to go find Juanita. The details didn't matter. Nothing about her mattered. Just find her as a favor to me. Vote Vero. Check the box. But then I came around and I thought that I wanted to share like greater detail.
Fantastic.
Juanita lives in, I don't know what you call your house. Juanita lives where she lives on the ranch where she was born.
I was a month old. My folks were working on another ranch for a year before they came back to the ranch.
Okay. But your grandfather lived there.
Oh, for sure. And my great grandfather.
Okay. So she lives where her great grandfather lived, all right on the county.
Yep.
Okay. Same county. She lives where her great grandfather lived. Her grandfather lives. And you were born on some other ranch, but then moved there for a month. And you live in kind of like a, I don't know, like a cat. I don't know what the hell. What do you tell people you live in?
My great grandmother's.
With a great many bats.
My great grandmother's cabin with a lot of bats. Yeah. Yeah. Not far from Rice Ridge, where you were in Seeley Lake.
Juanita's, her property, which it's like Juanita's family, like wholly owns the property, but the property where you live. is in the block management program.
It is one of the early block management. My grandfather was part of bringing that to the western part of the state.
Is that right?
I think block management, Yana, you can check this. I think block management started on the eastern side first in Montana, but came over to the west side. So we had problems, the story goes, oral tradition goes, we had problems with people cutting our fences, trespassing, shooting horses, what have you, driving around, causing hell, you know. And my grandfather decided to take some of that management into his own hands. And so he was running around with his mother's purse gun in his glove, like shooting at people he thought were trespassing or were hunting not how he wanted them to be hunting, which is problematic. So with the help of a neighbor who is a little more of a statesman and working with our game warden, figured out that this was better to involve the public and to have this block management program where people are a little more invested because it's walk-in only too. So if you're walking in, you're not driving. It's a different type of hunter. I don't hunt or fish.
What do you mean you don't fish?
Oh, okay.
Well, I fish with Juanita many times. Juanita, when fishing, likes to dispatch the fish.
Yeah, because I don't want to. I'd rather die quickly. Man, you watch.
She thinks
you
it.
Watch. We're gonna go off here. You watch a little perch that's been like frozen for like 4 hours, suddenly come to life in your sink as you're scaling it.
Yeah.
There's a. Bad, yeah, not good.
She doesn't like if you throw
it's
a fish
place in hell for people like that.
If you throw a fish in the boat and it's flopping around, in her mind, it'd be like if you had a deer flopping around in your car.
Put it out, huh? Put it out of its
gotta
misery.
Put it out. Yeah,
you're the mercy killer.
She undersells her hunting and fishing credentials.
I'm constantly reminded that I'm not from a fishing culture as well from both these two, and my nephew reminds me of that because I don't have the feel, you know. The hook goes all the way into the fish, like in its guts, before I decide.
Before
to,
you're aware of this, yeah, before you're aware of the fish's presence on the other end of your line. So you're,
So back to the block management. It was just this really beautiful arrangement where you'd have Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and our game warden do the management of the folks. My grandfather wasn't running around trying to shoot at people. People were respecting the landscape, respecting the access. And not tearing up fences. And, of course, there's also some self-policing going on, too, which is really great because you have other hunters out there. They're watching.
Yep.
They're other hunters, you know, and make sure everyone's following the rules. And so we've had a lot of success with our block management program. We don't have to, it's open to the public. You don't have to tell us. You don't have to get permission. You don't have to call us or sign up or any of that. You have to park at the appropriate places, but
you don't even have to sign in. You have to sign in, I guess.
There's no sign in. No.
Wow.
For block management, just for people to understand, management is a horrible name. God bless whoever came up with it, but block management, it's a public access program. It's like one of those names that no one would ever know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you look at the icon. There's a, you know, a hunter with a rifle shaking hands with a rancher on
it's
a
great
horse.
Icon. It's a great, the icon speaks
yeah.
it all.
Yep.
A rancher shaking hands with a hunter. But yeah, block management is a public access program. So point being, you live in a place that is open to block management. You, when you got married to my brother, within sight of the bones of your grandfather.
Intentionally, yes.
Buried in the family plot.
It's not a plot, it's a pasture.
But like a pile of rocks.
Yes, yes. We put a pile of rocks on top of them, yes.
Like right there on the property.
Yep.
And oftentimes, I know my wife told me this, you never told me this, but oftentimes when you have a decision to make, is it true that you go out?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Don't talk about this?
No, someone just a couple days ago, you know, Ed Robertson from Mountain Prairie, anyways, was asking me the same thing. But yes, I do. Your wife is very observant.
I didn't know this. Juanita goes out to visit the bones of her grandfather when she needs to make a decision.
Yes.
And even when my brother's off hunting on their anniversary, Juanita gets dressed in her wedding dress and goes out and sits on the rock where she married my brother by herself.
To be fair, his brother's only missed one anniversary.
Oh, so, that was, oh, he only missed one. Okay.
Yeah, this year. Cool. This year. We celebrate, you know, our anniversary. I put the dress on, get the same bouquet, some champagne. We take our vows and friends, whoever's around, we stomp out to our wedding rock and, you know, reevaluate our vows. And, yeah, that's great. And this year, COVID, and what was it, goats? I think it was mountain goats. I don't know. Some hunting season issue. So my husband couldn't be there with me. So I was at the rock by myself. I knew it was going to happen. But, yeah.
Yeah, point being, I think all that, I'm only bringing this out. Like, I'm not even going to get into how generous you are. And how...
Very kind.
Well, no, not only that, but how you're a wonderful aunt to my kids. Without any fanfare.
In fact, I don't like children.
Kind of lets the kids understand that she doesn't like them. But within that, they love her because they know there's no bullshit. They're like, that's a mean lady, but I like her. Because she takes me horse riding, gives me snacks. I can tell that she's got like a, like, you know.
Threshold.
There's a threshold there. She's cool about it. I get it. I love her more for it. A wonderful aunt. Like, I think you're a great aunt.
Oh, that's really kind of you. Thank you.
I'm pointing out all this. Your generosity, compassion. Let me tell you another. This is my favorite Juanita story. Juanita gets. Can I talk about when you got your car crashed? Is this making you uncomfortable?
No, I'm
Juanita gets in a car crash with a guy. Okay, a guy destroys Juanita's car. He turns out he doesn't even have a driver's license or has no insurance or something.
He has no insurance.
No insurance. I'm on the phone with Juanita, being like, "Well, how are you going to go about sticking it to him? Right? How? What are you going to do to go after him to get your money out of him?" She has to interrupt our call because he's calling her because she had called him to check in on him and make sure he's okay.
Yeah, that was, I've never been in a car accident before.
She took pity on the dude that killed her car.
Yeah, but it was super icy roads. It was Highway 200. All three of you know it. Super icy roads and this pickup truck just slid right into my face. It was
oncoming.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And so then she made it her responsibility to pursue to make sure he was all right.
I'd never been in a car accident before. I mean, this is my home road and, couldn't get out of my car. Had to like crawl it through the windows. Everything's dark. You know, I was worried, you know, it's pitch black. I was worried that, someone's going to hit my car, which is black and very small on a dark highway. And got out of my car. Then I was wondering where I was supposed to go because someone's going to hit my car. And I was worried that I was going to get hit again. Someone came and picked me up. And then we turned around to go find the guy who hit me because I wanted to make sure that they were okay. And first thing we did was when we saw each other, we gave each other a big hug. And I value that so much.
Wow.
Not just because now we're talking and we're in COVID. This just happened almost a year ago. But yeah, and then he worked up in Sealy Lake. You know, and he was telling me he didn't have insurance. And I was like, dude, keep quiet because there's other people around. But we were just so grateful both of us were okay. And yeah, and I know he had stuff going on and tough gig. And I have insurance. He doesn't. And he's going to go get insurance. I don't need to.
He's like, I can tell you one thing I'm going to do.
Yeah. No, we kept in touch, but there was no need to wreck his life. And, I mean, man, he's my neighbor. Like, yeah.
Point being, I think when I just want to implore people, and this is only of the 300 and how many million people are in America right now?
Yanni?
360-some.
I was just going to say right at 300.
Several hundred million individuals in America. 130,000 of them will encounter your name on the ballot.
Vote Vero.
And I'm not getting into the – I don't really know
328.
Oh, good job. 328.
I don't even know what the hell the issues are in your county. I don't really care. But I know that in terms of how you conduct your life and the connection you have to the land where you live and your compassion for the landscape and the people around you, I have a feeling, I'm saying this to the voters out there, I have a feeling that you will take your responsibilities seriously and do well by the individuals who put their faith in you to make good decisions.
You're going to make me cry, Steve. Yeah.
So when you go to vote, go down and like, that's your person. Nothing to say bad about the person running against you, but that is who I want. If I was living in that damn county, that's what I'd want from my county commissioner.
Yeah, that's well said. And I can't disagree with you. And I think it's like what Casey was saying earlier when we were talking about our local politics. It's not what you hear at the national level. Like our local issues. I mean, this is community members looking out for each other. This is the decisions we make is to make our community a better place to live and raise our kids. I don't even have kids, but I care deeply about all of your kids and the kids and that we have here. It sounds so corny, but
no, it's true.
So corny, but
she cares about kids in the way that in going out fishing, she would say, "What are these little people supposed to eat all day? No one has considered this." Something like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, selfishly, I like to eat, and so I was wondering what I was going to be eating too. So yeah, no, it's And Casey alluded to this earlier. This is an honor, and it's a huge responsibility. Casey's not doing this for money, it is just it's an honor. And when you really love a place, and you love Utah, and I love Montana, and even more Missoula County. The more I learn about it, it's an honor to be asked. So I was appointed, and then so now I have to run to finish to. Get another term. When you feel ready and folks believe in you and like you've said, it's pretty exciting to take that step.
Yeah, I think it's helpful too to talk about right now just to have a couple people in who have issues, but just to in some way help bring up the idea that like the people involved in politics and like when you go to vote that thankfully there's just it's individual Americans for the most part I would venture to guess individual Americans who are hoping to like do a good job.
It's service
for people.
This is
absolutely
yep.
So on November 3rd, whatever day after the election.
You can do it right now.
When our cities are in flames. When our cities are in flames, we'll look back on this conversation today and try to remember
there's good folks out there working for us. And I think it's important to remember that. And again, it's local. Like, forget about the national noise. And remember the action, the rubber meets the road locally.
Yeah.
And like county commissioner, honestly, I don't think it really matters what party we're from. I mean, we deal with such a broad range. I mean, whether it's someone complaining about a neighbor's dogs versus like our, what's the correct pavement recipe to our budget, it's a broad range.
Yeah, I follow along on Instagram. It seems like when you post some stuff about being a commissioner, you're always like off doing like things that you probably never even thought you'd be learning about, right? About
inner
workings of a county.
It's fantastic. And it's weirdly like the ranch, It's like the ranch, is this amazing place. So your ranch, probably the same thing. It's like there's never enough, JB Weld and duct tape and baling twine to like hold the place together.
Yeah.
But somehow it works. And in Missoula County, we have amazing staff and amazing engaged citizens who who really care. And that's what makes it special. So we got some crazy challenges to deal with because we're a large county and a complicated county. We have urban Missoula, which is very different from our largely rural, the rest of the county. I mean, you spent time up in Sealy Lake. There's some tension there. But that's why I think that this particular commission of which I'm part of, I think we represent that tension well and in a positive way. I think we can demonstrate some can do and even a little joy, which isn't a word you hear in politics at all.
Well, I want to, again, thank you guys both for coming on.
Yeah.
Juanita thanks. Vero, Missoula County Commission.
Yes.
This is your first up.
This is. Because
you got appointed, now you got to go win.
Yeah, this wasn't on my radar at all. I mean, Casey, you've been in this scene for a while. This came out of left field for me.
You make a series of poor decisions, and then you end up with a bad opportunity.
And
how long are you going to do it?
Are you going to be governor?
No.
No?
No, I like where I live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like
at where a certain I live. Point, you got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you won't move to live with my brother,
yeah,
I'd be real dismayed if you moved to become a politician. I was like, well, that's better than my brother? And Casey Snyder, who's up for re-election, is there a term limit where you're at?
No.
Tell people your district.
It's House District 5.
Cache Valley. From the Mountain Man era, Cache.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Jim Bridger loved it, and I live in Paradise, which is aptly named, you know. So
you can do two votes here because you can find Casey Snyder, 5th District.
Yep.
So all five of you or 30,000 of you that are
fighting five.
And that spread out community. Yep. And then also in Utah, go find your right to hunt and fish thing and vote. It's yes. Correct?
Correct. Yes.
You want yes.
We
you want
yes.
to be able to hunt and fish. And if you're in one of the majority of states doesn't have such protection. Yep. So hope that other people will be inspired to
write their state legislators.
With their free time, get that rolling in the other states. And I look forward to a national version.
There's a movement starting right here, right now. I mm-hmm. can feel it. I think that's what I can feel. Absolutely.
Right to hunt, fish, and trap. Right?
Absolutely.
Right?
And run hound dogs.
Right? Yeah, I was going to start one.
And shoot a bow. What was the other things?
Yeah, archery hunting.
Bait bears,
chase lions. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you coming out. This is the bipartisan get out the vote issue. We've introduced you to a Democrat. We've introduced you to a Republican. If it wasn't for COVID, I'd make you guys hug. That'd be like real.
Fist bump.
They did a fist bump.
Boom.
They did a fist bump. There it is. Partisanship ripping apart America right here in our podcast studio. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. Telling you what, DECT is a game changer. DECT has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the DECT drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to DECT.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to DECT.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping.